Hello and welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. This is Nikola.
And this is Nikola.
And this is Vlad. F*** you, man. Why don't you do it?
Hey, welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. We have some great stories for you this week. I think for the big stories is... Ignite.
And
Ignite
we start from this story, obviously.
Yes.
So this week actually.
Last week we announced it for this week. So this week actually happened. So
cool. So this week we had Ignite. And it was a big thing. We announced a bunch of new stuff. We had a lot of sessions. And in fact, they all are available now on demand.
Yeah. Like, so you can go watch the keynote that Satya had. You can go watch all the different sessions they were had there around Azure, around client, cloud, everything that's out there that we talked about, all the announcements. There's some cool announcements around Office, cool announcements around AI. We're going to try to cover as much as we can during this show, but there's hours and hours of content that you should definitely check out if you're interested.
Yeah, in fact, some of them are very special, so we want to cover them like one by one.
Yeah,
and we start from Office.
Office, yeah. So there's actually a whole blog post of the Office Dev Team, Dev Center, that the Office team set up that talks about all the new announcements that were that happened during the Ignite session. They talk about all the new updates they had to the Office Graph, to the Microsoft Graph, all the new stuff they've added as previews. There's some stuff that just became GA. There's some new abilities to do around add-ins and web parts. Now you can also enable your extensions for Office 365 to run on the Mac as well, that without no code change. There's some cool stuff happening around voice, video, and connectors, and having to do some interactive messages with side groups, and also coming into your inbox as well, so you can able to do those. So make sure to read through this blog post. This blog post is going to give you an idea of all the new cool stuff. If you never use Microsoft Graph or any of the connector stuff, this is a great chance to get started and to just play around with it. It's all based around current web technologies, so it's all skills that you already know. And it works everywhere. It works across the desktop, works in the browser, it works on any of the Office apps as well. So it's really good stuff. It's a good way to build extensions and build experiences for anybody that uses the Office 365.
Across many platforms. Yeah. Sounds great. So at Ignite, Satya actually had a great keynote. I enjoyed it, in fact, this morning. I was watching on demand using this website. Mm-hmm. And this keynote was all about artificial intelligence, AI. And we made some announcements. That probably the biggest one was about putting programmable chips on Azure. So it's a special technology. You know, both Amazon and Azure, we are running CPU kind of nodes on Azure and mm-hmm. running GPU, these new GPU nodes. But this one is about having FPGA nodes. So basically, those are specialized chips, and they can be like kind of altered and change the way they operate based on what tasks you're gonna solve, like what problem you're gonna solve with them. And as an example,
it's hardware acceleration.
Yeah, it's basically hardware acceleration, yeah. Exactly. And basically, they gave a great example about translating the whole English Wikipedia from English to Spanish language. So if they use the full power they have currently deployed on Azure, they can translate like this whole text, like all the text, like 5 million articles. In less
I think
than
said a quarter of a mile long, if you print them
exactly,
all out on
yeah.
paper and you stack them all on top, it's a quarter of a mile long.
So they can translate everything in less than tenth of a second. Like, can you imagine? It's so faster than you blink.
So that might be even faster than actually switching to the Spanish language on Wikipedia uh-huh. and having the page reload in Spanish.
Exactly.
Just translates it right there.
So this is really big. This is a big thing for AI. Because like modern AI algorithms, they require a lot of hardware acceleration, and this way they can really speed them up, and they can solve like very complex problem in a reasonable amount of time. Because like people want to solve it now, people cannot wait for days, or sure. they want it to actually do in real time, and that's what this chip is doing.
Yeah, and I like the post by Peter that he goes into why we went into bringing FPGAs over to Azure and giving them out for people to actually use. And it starts with how we started using them in Bing and how they provided a huge, huge improvement in the way that Bing performed. And the biggest thing there was they also uses a lot less power from being able to do this. And it goes into the difference between FPGAs and CPUs and the ALU that's inside of the HoloLens, for example, that they've built. So it's a really great article that I really recommend for people to read.
Great. Another announcement we made is about Uber. And actually, it's more like Uber announcement than Microsoft. Uber starts requiring drivers to make selfies before they start accepting rides, because like it's important about security. You want to like when if you use Uber, you want to make sure that it's an actual driver like riding you, right?
Yeah.
Versus like a random person, and it's important like from the security perspective. So once Uber driver logs in, Uber requires a driver to make a selfie. And then using Microsoft Cognitive Services, they identify this driver, so they make sure it's the one that that like is trying to log in. And then basically Uber lets this driver to accept customers.
It's a great technology. So, and if you, Andrew goes into a lot of details of how it was implemented, of course. But if it's something that anybody can try right now. Cognitive Services has been around, was previously known as Project Oxford. And now it has a lot more services than just this. It has visual services for visual recognition, has services around sound, speech, and understanding, language understanding. So if it's something that anybody can try right now into their own applications or on their web services. It's based around REST. So you can just go in there and you can play around with it. There's really great online tools as well. So you can go try out, upload your own pictures, and you can do all kinds of cool stuff. So if you haven't tried it out, it's a great way to take advantage of this technology without having to know how it actually works, because it's all done through machine learning and everything just works really fast in the cloud.
Yeah, this is stuff from Satya's keynote at Ignite. Yeah. There was also NFL bot demo. There was a great Cortana demo. But talking about AI, we actually just announced basically new big milestone on AI at Microsoft, because under Harry Shum, we formed a huge organization, 5,000 people. It's actually like a good number. It can be a pretty big company, right? But it's just an org at Microsoft that formed out of people who made Cortana, who was working on cognitive services, and Microsoft Research itself. Now it's a single group, which includes also ambient computing and robotics people. And they're going to work on AI. So basically, they're doubling down on that. They want to accelerate this effort. And that's like, you know, we have Windows org, we have Office org, we have what else? We have cloud and enterprise org, and now like we have AI org. You know, AI basically became a product. Yeah, it's a very big.
And it's great. And Harry is one of the best people to actually be leading this. I think this group, because he has a lot of experience with the Microsoft Research Group for the past 25 or so years. Has been working on AI for starting from being able to do things like speech recognition in the early days when Microsoft Research was created, to be able to do all this stuff that we're doing now in Azure, and then doing all this research to make it more publicly available so anybody can take advantage of this work, which is, I think, great.
Yeah, and working on AI, it's not just Microsoft. In fact, this week, Microsoft, Google, Facebook, IBM, and Amazon formed a partnership on AI. So this partnership is less about doing like technical stuff, because like every company from this list does a lot on AI, and like we all achieved a lot. This is about exchanging what we achieved so far. This is about forming like recommendations for other companies, giving like the research we've done, giving our experience across all these companies. This is about basically understanding what AI is gonna look like? How's it gonna operate? Because this is all new. This is like AI space these days is very kind of has a very short time between doing the research and making a product. That's brilliant.
It's a completely new, even though it's been around for a very long time, it's still a very new field of, and we don't know what are the implications of AI to social and whatever economical benefits. And this partnership is gonna help us create best practices of how AI should be integrated into our day-to-day lives, how we should build AI to be safer and better integrated into our, you know, everything that we do. So I think it's great that all these big companies are coming together to say that, yes, we're very serious about this. They want to make sure that we do the right due diligence to make it successful.
Right. Yes.
Now, switching up gears a bit, let's talk about Azure. So there was some new stuff that we also announced at the Ignite conference around Azure. And then there was a new technical preview for the Azure Stack that was released, Technical Preview 2. Released the technical preview one a while back, and then we had a lot of feedback for that one. And then the technical preview two comes up with a really new cool stuff. It allows you to mix things like Azure on-premise and Azure on cloud, and to create some of the greatest ways to go around if you have, you know, if you're in the government or if you have in healthcare, if you have all this data that or this processing that needs to be done in a very secure, safe way, or if you just want to keep all of this processing local to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just provides a lot of cool stuff for you.
Yeah, and it's great both from the kind of infrastructure and I don't know, policy perspective, when you want to host part of these things inside your organization, like in your own data center. And it's also important for solution developers. Once you develop a solution that relies on Azure and based on Azure Stack, like not this particular product, but Azure Stack of technologies, you know that it's going to work both like in the cloud and on this kind of sort of almost on-premise or like hybrid cloud solutions. That's important both from the developer and customer perspective.
Agreed. A little bit to switch gears now, going from Azure to .NET. So there was some announcements happening this week around .NET standard. Which is a new standard around how do we unify all the different .NET libraries into one unified library that we can write code for this, and then it can actually be shared across, let's say, .NET Core, the .NET model that runs on Xamarin, .NET that runs on UWP, for example. How do we unify all these different standard libraries, all these different standard APIs that all of these exist, but they're not exactly the same? And .NET Standard provides us a one unified way to be able to do that, which is really cool. And it's all open source. You can go and read the standard on GitHub right now. You can see what it is. And then as we move forward to .NET Standard 2.0, we're going to have a unified library for all of the .NET frameworks out there to be able to use.
So that's good. And that's basically a sort of standardization of the way we make libraries, yeah, because they're all made by different people.
Yeah, and then they've been forked over time many times to use them for .NET Framework 4.5, .NET Core, the Mono framework that is in Xamarin. They all have a lot of the same things, but they have some changes. They forked them over to make them work for that platform. And this guarantees that we will have one unified way for developers to write code. That this means that I can now take a library that was written for .NET Core, and I can use it in Xamarin, and I can use it in other things.
Awesome. Again, switching gears a bit, there is a Project Springfield that's basically a system and infrastructure running in Microsoft Data Centers that you're going to use for testing your applications.
Yeah.
So the way it works, as I understand it, is you upload your binaries, basically all your application to this virtual machine, basically to Springfield, and then you define tests you're gonna run for this, and we're running these tests for you, again using our kind of experience and technologies we developed for running security tests, because this is all about security. And given the size of the infrastructure we have, we can find really big and serious problems your code might have, right?
Yeah, so this has been a service that we've been using in Microsoft for a very long time for one of their biggest products. We've been using Windows 7 and so on, and it's been used to find a lot of critical security bugs. And they say you can find $1 million bugs, which essentially is found bugs that are in the product before the product actually ships. So it prevents you from trying to rush and spend all the money to patch up those bugs while the code is in production. So it's able to use a lot of fuzz testing that we have some custom fuzz testing we do here at Microsoft, allows you to find all these different bugs into your own software. So it's a preview right now. Anybody can go in, they can sign up, and they can try to test their binaries into this the service.
Nice.
Yeah.
So that moment, peaks of the week. What's your pick
That's
of the week?
That's right. So my pick of the week is a bit different this this week. It's a new website. It's a community website that an MVP has created. It's all about Visual Studio. So there's a lot of resources out there for Visual Studio. If you want to learn about Visual Studio, if you want to learn about anything on MSDN, in fact, there's a lot of services. You don't know where to start. And I like the blog post that they wrote about how this works. Carlos has done a great job in going through how the history of MSDN and how the beginning in like 20 so years ago, it was basically quarterly CDs or monthly newspapers or magazines that you would get and you would read about this. Now it's all a bunch of different data, a bunch of different sources, and you have to search the search engine to do it. And this is just an opportunity or attempt to unify all of this for Visual Studio. Just Visual Studio, just the tooling, nothing to do with the languages itself or any of the SDKs, but it's all about the tooling and the productivity tools the developers might want to use. So it's just a lot of resources that are used by the community, that can be taken advantage by the community.
It's also a great opportunity to make me feel old, because like I really was using that first MSDN, and now it says it's back in 1995, and like for me it was actually 1996. It
Huge
was a long
difference.
Time ago. Huge difference. Yeah, now it's completely different. I remember copying this stuff over to my machine and then trying to share it on the network share. Man, that was fun.
That was the day, huh?
Yeah, it was the day.
What's
and
yours?
My pick of the week is about switching a bit back to AI, and we're talking a lot about AI these days. There is a great, actually, Git repo on github.com with an actual application based on like what they call generative neural networks. It's like one of these kind of networks that either understand style of the image, like you basically presenting to this network, or it understands like what's going on this picture, what you have, or it can understand actually both. And there is a lot of projects now around this. Like this area is really growing. But this particular project is very interesting because it gives you an opportunity to edit pictures, not just like analyze them and generate them in a, like in a command line. It's kind of an interactive tool. That's why I like it, because you basically can like you can take a picture of a human and decide to change the style of hair or like the color of the hair. And this system, this application, and this neural network actually understands that you are editing like a hair. Or you can remove glasses from like people's picture, or you can like put glasses back. Or you can say, or this is like one guy, I'm gonna kind of morph this guy to another one. Or I wanna change the position. Like it's a really great tool. It's a really great area of artificial intelligence and research. And we have more and more applications like this every day. So it's a good thing to try.
No, I agree. This reminds me a lot of where technology is going with personal assistants, where you can, or it reminds me a lot of Jarvis and Iron Man, for example.
Yeah, yeah,
where
exactly.
You can say, hey, do this, or change the color in the hair, and knows what you're talking about, it knows what you're trying to change, and knows it understands what you're trying to refer to. So it's very moving AI in the right direction.
Yeah, and it's like an artist. It relies only on the image. It doesn't analyze like 3D forms. It doesn't analyze like your body or your face. It just understands what's going on. It's really about understanding the image.
It's like having a little person in the computer trying to do the stuff that you tell it to do.
Yeah, one day, I'm sure that one day there will be a bot doing This Week on Channel 9.
Hope so.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, I think that's it. Thanks everyone for joining. I know you have a busy schedule, so we appreciate the time, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, have fun.